It's Conrad Thompson, and you're listening to Dynamo's Dozen.
Welcome to Dynamo's Dozen, the podcast that I bring you each and every single week, where I talk about whatever may be on my mind, from pro wrestling, sports, entertainment, music, movies, muesli, fresh shocks and jocks, and everything in between, never forgetting the talc. What? Yes, that is right. We are literally going to talk about WrestleMania 38. It's been done. So this is your WrestleMania review. But before we get into WrestleMania, let's take care of a little bit of business. And of course, you can see two of my favorite people that are on the show pretty much every other week. Is, of course, Ted Irving of Retrotainment, your number one YouTube channel for anything retro in terms of movies, shows, or whatever it may be. And of course, one half of the OTS, and that is on the Slab Brothers, Mr. Carl Kingwall.
One third, should I say.
Yeah, one third. Yeah. You've not been sacked, Greg. I'm sorry. That's my bad.
Yet.
He said that, not me. So, of course, we do have a little bit of business to take care of. So, Carl, obviously, you're my OTS brother. So, why don't you tell people what our sponsors are bringing the peeps today?
I will indeed. Absolutely. First of all, thanks for having us on the show. And your listeners and viewers are due a nice little surprise if they go to FrightRags.com. And of course, as you can see, Ted is modeling a FrightRags t-shirt there of the Crow. And we have a little special offer for you. If you type in the promo code OTSHorror10, you can get a 10% discount on your purchase. And as we're always saying, buy in bulk and you'll get that discount makes more of a difference, you know.
Takes care of your customs charge, basically.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So thanks to the boys in Freyrags and Ben, they really are supporting on the Slab, and now I am Dynamo's Dozen. So give them an out visit there.
Yeah, go and check them out. Of course, you can go onto their website, which is fright-rags.com. Right. Or if you want, you can actually go to their Instagram page or their Twitter page, and you can literally shop online right there. There's a link directly under there. It's beautiful. I was rocking around London all week with my Day Live t-shirt, and it was it fit like a glove. And that Ted shirt that he's wearing right there is just absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, some lovely Crow ones.
They're beautiful. The print and everything is just second to none. Like, it's really, really good.
Well, we'll give you an example. The third member, of course, of On The Slab, who isn't here today, but he's working hard anyway. So he obviously couldn't make it, but he's had one of his shirts. I don't know which one it is, Ted, you'll probably know, but he's had one of his shirts for 11 years. And it's been washed, and it's still absolutely perfect. So
I don't know if it's been washed, but he's had it for 11 years.
Okay, it's never been washed, but
I'd agree. I'd believe that, actually.
Gingers don't wash.
on Fright Rags at the moment, they have their April Fool's stuff up there. It's kind of like a mishmash of two different films put together. So you've got a Friday Night Fever, but it's not. You know, it's not the original. It's, you know, there's different people on the dance floor than you'd expect to be seen on a Friday Night Fever. And then
Jason Travolta.
There's a lovely one there, Silver Bullet, Cycle of the Werewolf.
Oh, it's
deadly looking. Like,
In fairness, we did a show. If anyone wants to go and check out what we do on the Slab, Ted was actually part of this particular show. We done American Werewolf versus Dog Soldiers. Now, in my opinion, I played along. In my opinion, it should have been Silver Bullet versus American Werewolf. But there you go. That's just... So this is the great thing about opinions. But yeah, if you are a fan of horror movies and folklore and all that kind of stuff, do go and check us out. We are on the Slab Horror on YouTube. Oh. And of course, as we mentioned, Ted is Retrotainment on YouTube, where they cover pretty much anything that's retro and classic in the world of film and movies. In fact, they've done a great little series on Bill Murray over the last month or two, and it's absolutely fantastic. So go and check that out. In fact, the debate was invented by you guys, to be fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, in fact, Ted, you have some great shows in the model of recasting. So why don't you tell people a little bit about what that is? Because I think it's fantastic and we were a part of it.
Yeah, we had you two boys on just before Halloween. It's we take old films, old being, you know, what you wouldn't think, like some of them are only the 90s, which you don't think are old, but I mean... That's 30 years ago now, lads. You know, it is old. We take films like that where, you know, you had your big actors of the day and recast it as if it was being made for the first time, not a remake. So there's no homage to, oh, well, you know, we had Brad Pitt there. Nope, Brad Pitt was never in this film. It's whoever you think would take, who would be the Brad Pitt of today that he was in the 90s. And we just recast them one-on-one and then a judge. So it's myself, Greg, and Carl Sherlock, and then when we invite guests on, it's one-on-one and then three judges, so they have to convince two or three to vote for them. It's entertaining, but and sometimes, you know, you feel I've got this one dead set, nobody's beaten this, and then somebody comes out with something and you're like, yeah, no, they have me.
Yeah,
great show.
So go and check that out on Retrotainment. But without further ado, this is your WrestleMania 38 review. We're not going to, obviously we want to keep it within the hour. We're conscious of time. So we want to just kind of give a broad, I suppose, review of WrestleMania 38. Obviously we know we had a great lineup for the Hall of Fame. Obviously the Undertaker was a huge part of WrestleMania, the fact that he was going into the Hall of Fame. So we won't spend too much time on that, but you know, never say never at the end.
What did you think of that, lads?
Well, that could be riding off into the sunset, and maybe 2 or 3 years down the line, there could be something there where there's an appearance. I don't know. You could get one of those Hollywood movie matches, possibly, or it could just be literally teasing.
The man's been in the business 30 years, he's working.
Of course he's working.
He never stopped, you know.
Yeah.
He has no intentions of coming back, but if they're right, like, neither did Austin. And, you know, the time came around, his body had healed up, he felt he could go.
Mm.
So never say never is just the old rule, you know what I mean?
Well, I have to say, lads, if his body held up and he did a half-decent cinematic match, say, I wouldn't have a problem with that. Like, you know?
Me neither.
Yeah, I thought the AJ one was brilliant.
It was brilliant, yeah.
What about as a tribute and as a huge mark from Mark Calloway myself, I thought it was a hell of a speech. He didn't leave any stone unturned.
Yeah.
Obviously, being the gravedigger that he is, you wouldn't expect him to leave a stone unturned. But I thought he called everyone, you know, he gave a shout out to everybody, from Brett to Sean to H to Kane to... You know, I just thought it was an absolutely fantastic speech.
There was actually there was a little bit of controversy over that. A lot, like, obviously online, you know, people, like, not the person themselves didn't raise any controversy, but you know
what you're gonna say.
The likes of Twitter and all jumped out on this. Mick Foley never got a shout. Yeah,
that's what I was gonna say.
That was a very strange one. Yeah, but I think that's more a slip of memory.
I think so.
Yeah. I think he mentioned Hell in a Cell, and you know. I know him and Sean are the first Hell in a Cell, but when you're talking Hell in a Cell, no one remembers like Sean and Undertaker. They remember Mankind and Undertaker, and he mentioned the Boiler Room match, which is Mankind as well, you know? So I think, you know, yeah, he didn't mention him by name, but Mick Foley's not going to care about that.
No, that's more of a slip of, like, trying to remember that many names. And
I mean, if you had to name everyone that he faced, he'd been there another 2 or 3 hours, you know?
But on Dynamo's dozen, he mentioned Brett. That's good enough. No, all joking aside, I thought it was a great speech, and very emotional at times. I thought the Steiners done a great speech. I thought obviously Vader's family, very emotional speech as well. So
was JTG and Shad Gaspard's wife and child. That was a real heart wrencher, that one.
Yeah. I mean, anyone that knows that and about that man's story, that's a real hero.
A real hero.
So it was fantastic. But we got into night one of WrestleMania. We'll just go through the matches. We won't go match by match, obviously. But night one, we obviously had the Usos. Now, this is on the we're talking main show here. So
I don't think they had anything on the pre-show.
There was nothing on the pre-show.
I didn't watch the pre-show.
Nothing on the pre-show for either night here.
No matches.
Cool. Well,
just an hour of waffle.
That's true. It was waffle. What's the Irish kid's name? He's actually all right though. I Instagrammed him and he's a nice enough chap.
No, they're all like, it was all entertaining to a point, but it was like, yeah, we don't need an hour of this either.
The Usos, Nakamura, Ricky Boogs, obviously there was only one winner there. Drew McIntyre defeated Happy Corbin. Look, again,
what did you think of the thing with the sword chopping the ropes?
I just think that, like, imagine not having like Finn Balor on the show, but you have this match on the show. You know what I mean? How would this match not be?
Anyway, chopping those ropes, like you could see it in the next two matches. The bottom rope wasn't aligned with the top and middle rope for the rest of the night.
It was absolute nonsense just to appease Drew in some sort of way. But like I say,
And hopefully Rick Boogs.
Hopefully he's okay.
Because it looked like legitimate knee gone out. So
yeah,
it did. He tore the quads, I think.
Yeah, best of luck to him because I think he's a star. Me too. Ravishing. Rude.
That guitar playing at the start, it was like, this is Rick Rude meets Lee Van Halen. Shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm invested. I want this.
Just give him Rick Rude's gimmick. Just give it to him.
Let him play guitar.
Yeah. Let him do it. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Rocking Rick Rude.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Listen, Bianca Belair. Beating Becky, phenomenal match. I'm sure we'll spend a bit of time on that.
Shouldn't I?
It was amazing.
Of course, Cody and Seth Rollins again. It could have been a better match than it was, but there was definitely in theory it was a good match. A lot of the execution from one side was pretty bad in my opinion. Charlotte Flair, Ronda Rousey, again not a bad match considering it was Ronda's kind of singles. It was.
We'll talk about that in a bit.
Yeah, but the most entertaining segment, entertainment
ever.
Segment. I mean, good lord, Stone Cold comes back with Kevin Owens, and my god, Kevin Owens is a stud,
isn't he?
Held his own, held all that segment together, until it got there, and sold like a motherfucker as you would. But guys, I suppose running through that list, I mean, it's a decent card on night one, seven matches down. Now, let's start with straight away when we went through the card there, Ted, you said match of the night was Bianca Belair and Becky. First of all, I thought Becky looked amazing with the new kind of hairdo, the makeup. I thought it was a really cool look.
The weird sort of not fake haircut, but like haircut, but it's not. Doesn't look like it's done by a professional, but it obviously is.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It looked like straw or something.
But it looked great. Yeah, she looked fantastic.
Yeah,
and the entrance for Belair
was absolutely fantastic as well. Yeah, I just thought it was something.
I think she's a legit star, isn't she? She really is.
The two of them are.
Yeah, the two of them. Yeah,
I think Becky is a mega star.
Becky's awesome. Like Becky's awesome, and everyone else is
catching up. Yeah, I agree with that, Ted. I have to say, I think by being in Becky's presence, what she's done to make herself just that, I still think she's like, you cannot take, she had her Austin moment after that Nia Jax thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And she's still at that level. You know, she's come back.
Loads of people have had that Austin moment and they haven't been able to.
Sure. She's been able to maintain it.
Yeah, she was able to take that and go, right, I got a little bit of it, but I want more. And she pushed it and pushed it and pushed it. And for everyone that was pissed off about her coming back at SummerSlam and ending Bel Air in 10 seconds flat, this is why.
This
was why you waited 6 months and you got this.
Yeah.
This is why that happened.
Yeah. And it was the right decision, I think.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, 100%.
It had to be that you couldn't have Becky win here. She had to lose. No.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt Becky by losing here. It elevates Bianca Belair, and they've got another kind of star on their hands and potentially a major star on their hands.
Yeah.
You know, especially for the black community and stuff like that, because they've really gotten behind her. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think, I think Bianca Belair, through all of, I just think that's cool because I end up doing that myself. And I don't even have that. It's like, I get into it. You know what I mean? We all do.
Mm. Oh, it was amazing, man.
Yeah, it was absolutely fantastic. I think, by the way, shout out. I never thought you'd hear these words. Nobody thought they'd hear these words from me. Shout out to Logan Paul. Good.
Absolutely.
Lord. I have not seen someone come out, you know, one of those kind of stars from the outside that have come in and actually taken it as seriously as him.
One other.
I don't know who you're going to say, Ted.
Yeah, we'll get to him on night two, but there's one other that's taken it as seriously.
There is one other, I know, and I'm glad you said that because we're on the same level here. But my God, Logan Paul. That sequence of being able to, but working, waiting for it, working. I mean, the homage to Eddie was just absolutely fantastic. But not just one.
Knowing where the camera was. Did you not see that when he looked at the camera?
Oh, man. The way he took his time with the three kind of suplexes and that frog splash was just absolutely fantastic. In fact, anyone that follows me on Twitter, I shared the Logan Paul thing, and you'll see that our own Jordan Devlin liked it and retweeted it from myself. And I mean, he works for the company, so like when even Jordan Devlin sees it and goes, "That's fucking fantastic," you're like, "It was." I just want to say, well done, Logan Paul, for not coming in and disrespecting the business and actually doing the opposite, respecting the business.
And here's a guy who came in, understood his role. Knew, like, listen, the guy knows that he is not well liked, you know. Like, don't get me wrong, the guy has millions of fans. Like, I'm not saying this guy's disliked,
and millions of dollars.
coming into here, he knew that he was, you know, one, he's paired with The Miz, who's obviously the heel going against the Mysterios, and he knows who Rey Mysterio is because he clearly is a fan.
Yeah,
like, you can tell by the way he did everything that this guy's a fan. Like, if you're
the
not
gear
a fan,
that he wore as well, he wore gear like a pro wrestler, which I appreciate it too.
I will say, I think, and like maybe you guys will disagree, I think though the three amigos he did, the way he flicked his hips, that's the closest to Eddie that anyone's been. Forget about Rey Mysterio, forget about Sasha Banks. They've all done it. And like, this isn't a knock at anybody else, but he knew really rotate those hips, not just a little small thing.
Dude.
Really get them out.
Ted, I am 100% with you. Even that kip up that he done, like he looked like a pro wrestler. He acted like a pro. That frog splash was fucking on point. I'm sorry. I have a feeling now. I don't know the guy from Adam.
Him and Miz are going up against each other somewhere.
But I have a feeling that he wants to maybe, because he's done all he can in boxing. Listen, dude, he nearly got a draw with Floyd Mayweather at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Like, he's probably going to leave whatever it is to the brother. Carl. Talk a little bit about that, because I think he might be thinking that he might have a little run in pro wrestling, and I'd be very interested in seeing it.
Do you know something? He leaned into his heel persona perfect, because he knows that he has haters about this kind of stuff. That's the perfect, I think that's the perfect platform for him. Not boxing, pro wrestling. You know, whether it's WWE, it doesn't matter. But well, obviously he'll go with the biggest show in town. He actually, and you know, I was real impressed, and I wouldn't have a problem with him becoming a full-time WWE superstar.
I think he's got a lot of potential. Ted, I know you and me bicker sometimes back and forth on things like that, but we've actually agreed on this. I think he has all the potential to be a great pro wrestler if he wanted to be, especially at his age and obviously with his amateur background.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll go full-time with it. I don't think he'd stomach the travel schedule for a full-time competitor. And he's, you know, he's famous outside of it. So he's going to make his demands. He'll come in and he'll do, you know, he'll do the TV tapings and pay-per-views, and then he'll disappear for 6 weeks.
But are you okay with that though? Yeah.
Yeah. Listen.
Me too.
Brock Lesnar did it and everyone was pissed with Brock Lesnar. I love that I didn't get Brock Lesnar I don't want to see Brock Lesnar every week. Look at Brock Lesnar. I don't want to see that guy every week. He's a specimen. He's a prized fighter. He comes in when there's something for him to do. He's not out here fucking wrestling, you know, just anybody. Ah, that's just who Brock versus Montez Ford. Just fuck him in there. And like, that's not a knock at Montez Ford, but I don't need to see Brock just wrestle just somebody just for the sake of it. No.
Special attractions.
Same formula as Hulk Hogan back in the day. Same formula as, like, we didn't get Stone Cold Steve Austin on Shotgun Saturday night. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I 100% agree. I just wanted to throw that out there. I thought Logan Paul was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, no, he killed it.
He was.
And Miz did as well. I have to give it to Miz.
Oh, listen, Miz like fired up at the end, getting the pro wrestling fans on his side. I thought that was a stroke of genius by the bookers. Whoever booked that, 100%. We give you a lot of fucking shit every now and then as fans. I thought that booking was absolutely fantastic because it made Miz look like he was on the side of the pro wrestlers and saying, "What the fuck are you doing in my ring?" You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was just beautifully written. Lads, we got to talk about this a little bit, surely. The mystery opponent that everyone knew who it was. Cody came back looking like a million bucks wrestling to work with Seth. I mean, the entrances were absolutely fantastic. I mean... Look, I don't like this version of Seth personally. I think the whole laugh is just really annoying. It sounds fake. It doesn't sound like him. Like the real Seth we've had a while back. He's a rocker. He's a fucking grunger. He wants to just headbang at metal gigs or Parkway Avenue, whatever he's into. And like, this just looks odd for him. But I mean, look, we know the talent he has, but I am now going to draw a line under the sand. And I have to be careful here because I have a pony in the race. one of my best friends, as you boys know, without mentioning names, is related to him now in some way. So
yeah.
I'm not trying to knock the guy here on a personal level because it's not that at all. But we talked about this. I think, Ted, you were actually on this a while ago. It was like, who is the real Seth Rollins? I mean, you've seen Dean Ambrose has gone and found himself now, becoming John Moxley and found his self. We've seen Roman Reigns go and find his true potential. But the one that was actually the favorite to go and find their true potential still quite hasn't. Is that fair?
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's the chameleon of the group. I think the other two had to be these things. I don't think Moxley couldn't be a world champion and be loved the way he is if he wasn't John Moxley. Roman, I think this is like, and we've seen it, Roman wasn't loved until now. Roman is loved now. Like, he gets booed out of the building, but everyone loves the gimmick.
It's a boo of passion, I think.
Yeah, like, people know, like,
I want to be you.
forget about the, you know, I'm going to cheer because he's the cool heel. They've all bought in. They're like, no. Roman's meant to be the bad guy. And this is, we're going to go along with that now. You know, we're going to go along with him being the bad guy and we're going to boo him as much as we love him. And I think they had to be those things. I think Seth's the chameleon. I think Seth's kind of, I'm not saying as good as Jericho, but I think he's in that mold of Jericho where you can kind of drop him up and then bring him back up and then drop him and just change him up so much. Like, as you said, the grungy rocker, the corporate shill, a cowardly heel. And then I quite like this persona. It's a bit like, a bit mental, which, you know, he really plays up to that with the fake laugh and the, you know, the weird dancing and stuff. I love the fact that the crowd has really bought into his music as well, where they all sing it with him now.
I think the music is absolutely dreadful, just on a personal level.
Me too. No, actually,
I don't think the music is actually very good, but the fact that the crowd have bought into the music
and sing along. Thing. Yeah, that's
yeah. The fact that they've bought in and they sing along because he conducts them and everything, I think is like it's really well done by him.
It's a great visual.
I
think he's going to change now after Raw. I don't know if people have seen it, but he came out and he shakes Cody's hand and he says, "Welcome back." So I think we're going to see him switch from that character to something else again now.
Well, let's.
So I'm interested to see where that goes.
Well, exactly, because I'm glad you said that there. But most importantly, what I'm looking at when I'm looking at the match, right? It's the longest match of the night. Okay, not by a long shot, but it's the longest match of the night. And you're watching that match, and I could see genuine frustration in Cody with certain spots within that match, and I don't think they were true. Cody's fault, personally. We look at again that buckle bomb. I don't know why it's still a thing. We saw it. I'm glad we only saw one angle of it because it looked shocking. I mean, you don't come out of a Seth Rollins match without some sort of scar, unfortunately. Yeah. To say, I mean, Cody's head was just completely, probably it looked like somebody dropped a cinder block on his head. The suplex that they tried to do over the top rope with the kind of old Dynamite Kid suplex where you're meant to follow, like that's not a thing you just do if you don't know what you're doing. I'm sure you'd agree with that, Ted. That's kind of like one of those where you need to know exactly the actual. I mean, he landed on Cody's head on that one. Cody with the backflip had to actually move in midair just to get him because obviously ring position from Seth was pretty much. I felt very off. I don't want to be too mean to the guy. I just really think he tries too hard. I'm going to put this to you, okay? There's a match when we talk about AJ and Edge later, yeah? When you look at their match, and then you look at this match, it's like one component of this match with Seth is trying too many things. Whereas like sometimes simplicity is better, no?
Yeah.
Carol, what do you think?
Yeah, I think so.
Feel that Seth was trying way too much in this.
excuse me. I think that, I mean, the whole narrative of an AEW guy coming back was there. So, like, there was no need for any real build-up. Like, that was the great thing. And like you say, I think maybe he was a bit overexcited, maybe. You know, maybe trying too hard. And, I mean, in fairness, not that Cody has to prove himself to anybody, but I think Cody felt he had to prove himself all over again, you know?
I thought so Cody if was anyone, the star of this match, personally.
He was top notch, and I absolutely love the fact, like, as you know, I'm now an AEW fan. I wasn't for the longest time, and it was like AEW invading, so to speak, because he had the same ring entrance, the same music. I thought that was brilliant, like, you know.
Before we get to Ted here, because I know Ted's a big Cody fan and obviously a big AEW fan, I kind of marked out for this one as well, even though I knew what was coming.
Yeah, me too.
I marked out purely from the fact that I was like, am I really a WWE guy? Because I was kind of like, now WWE gets one of their guys.
I honestly thought that they would, you know what, they did this thing with Triple H. I thought they were going to do something like that and, you know, puff set over. Like, but I'm delighted that they didn't.
Ted?
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's all right. I think Cody and Rollins felt a little bit forced. I think Rollins felt, and I know what you mean, like simplicity can be the king sometimes, but the fact is they had no story going into this. That, like, the story was, you know, Seth got his match at Mania. Like, that's the whole story.
Yeah.
So I think maybe both of them felt a need to make sure this match was perfect. So there was, they put that extra pressure on themselves. I think maybe Cody just dealt with it a little bit better. Maybe just he has a stronger hand to play against if it didn't go too well and Rollins didn't. Mm. I will say, and this might be a bit controversial, I think bringing Cody out there was the wrong idea. I think Vince's hand-picked opponent should have just been some jobber. I think Rollins should have gone out and smashed some jobber. And as he's celebrating in the ring, and everyone thinks, well, that's it, we're not getting Cody tonight, we were all wrong thinking it was Cody, then have Cody come out.
Would have been interesting, actually, thinking, I heard an interesting thought today, that maybe if Vince, you know the way, kind of what he's doing with your man, it would have been nice for, if it was Cody, was that was Vince's project, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Vince brought him in to be his guy, you know?
Yeah, and I just felt that, you know, it was too predictable. Like, I know it was meant to be a surprise, but it was the worst kept secret. We all knew it was going to be Cody. And I feel they could have done better by not giving us Cody straight away.
I still think it was a decent match, lads. It was just a bit too hard hitting. Listen, I'm all about hard hitting matches, but I just felt that there was a little bit of, you know, the chemistry wasn't quite there. And I thought there was a couple of little rookie errors I felt on Seth's part.
It was rushed. There was just bits of it that were rushed, I think, is what happened to it.
Well, let's get on to obviously Charlotte and Ronda. Look, it was a pretty long match too. It was just under 20 minutes. I thought Ronda
too long.
It was way too long. But I do think Ronda definitely held her end of the bargain. I think she's shown that she's committed to the game. And I think it was the right decision to have Charlotte win.
Yeah, personally. we're probably going to be surprised at this, Ian, but I don't like Ronda Rousey in the WWE.
Okay, yeah, that's
you know, fair. I get the impression that, I think I might have said it before, she's too real, if you get me. She's a legit fighter. And, you know, yeah, she's made a great transition over, but sometimes it just feels like she's going to just lose the plot and just like, actually go shoot for real, you know, which is good in some ways, but
that's the intrigue, though, isn't it?
Isn't that
that's a good point that you make there? Like, that's kind of what people want to watch it for, you know? Is she gonna actually fuck someone up?
But I mean, they're trying to pass her off as a baby face again, that's fine. If you remember, there was a natural turn last year, or the last time she was in WWE, because the crowd didn't like her. You know, they just didn't resonate with her. You know, and
kind of like the Goldberg thing.
Yeah, exactly. But you can see when things don't go the way she's hoping, it frustrates her. You know, to a point where that's where I'm like, she might explode. You know, so I think you're right about. You know, it's an intriguing thing, but Charlotte Flair, Jesus, I think she's spectacular. I think, like, I know she's ran down everyone's throats all the time, but she's fantastic.
Well, I'm gonna put this question to Ted, based on the match, obviously, but also based on what you said earlier about Becky being the star. I think it's a case of like. They're very lucky in a way that they've actually developed Becky and Charlotte, because Becky's kind of the star, but Charlotte's kind of known as the one, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? It's kind of like when you had Ric Flair as kind of your star, but then you had Sting as your franchise player, and that's kind of almost what they've done.
Yeah, I don't know. For the match, I felt the match was way too long. Listen, I know they wanted to give Ronda her time out there, but Ronda's not ready for a 20-minute match at Mania.
I don't believe
a 20-minute match. No. She's not ready. No. And like, it's not a knock at her, you know, it's a hard transition to make. And I get what Carl was saying, that sometimes it looked like she's going to flip off the handle. Shayna Baszler looks like she's going to flip off the handle, but she's, you know, I believe her wrestling stuff. Yeah. She's ready to do it. That's who you want in there instead of Ronda. Now, Ronda's obviously the bigger star. There's no question, like, Ronda's the bigger star, so of course you're going to have Ronda. Shit end to the match. I'm sorry, no match should be ending with a fucking big boo. Kane used to hand them out like fucking sweets at fucking Halloween. Like, you can't be ending a match with a big boo. I'm sorry. like that was terrible. Lazy. I don't like that. Lazy. It was lazy. Like, have her hit the spear, anything, just hit anything else other than the fucking big boo.
Even a roll up, you know. Yeah, but
anything would have been better than a big boot, like, and then pinned clean. Because where does Ronda go from there? Oh, yeah, you didn't beat me. Yeah, I did. I hit you a big boot and you didn't kick out. Done.
Yeah.
Back of the line. Charlotte, I think Charlotte is the one they want to pin everything on. They want Charlotte to be that champion, but she's a 13-time champion, lads. That's sad.
She's got to beat her L lads record. You know she's going to do that.
She's going to beat her L lads record, and it's probably been less than 10 years.
Yeah.
If I'm right, less than 10 years, and she's had 13 championship runs.
I always
the L lad at least had what? Fucking a 30 plus year run to do that.
But I mean, do you know, like I said this before ages ago to you, Ian, when the four horsewomen were first pulled up, I thought Becky was the star. I thought Becky's the one who'll make it. And Charlotte wasn't even my number two. I had Sasha as my number two, Charlotte as three, and then Bailey as four. And now I don't know if I'd even be right with that because I think Bailey could outrank Charlotte for me as well.
Easy.
I'm not a huge fan of Charlotte anymore. I think she's one, being shoved down people's throat. And two, I think she kind of buys into her own hype a little bit. She genuinely believes this. And for the love of God, can somebody backstage tell her, listen, Charlotte, the only time you're allowed to do a moonsault is when it's to the outside of the ring. Mm-hmm. Because every moonsault I've ever seen you hit going from the top rope to inside the ring, you've missed by a fucking country mile. Somebody say it to her, stop it.
Realistically, if Flair wasn't her name, other than the fact that she's 6 foot as a lady,
I think she'd still be a star. I don't think she'd be the star. They wouldn't pin as much on her if she wasn't Ric Flair's daughter.
Exactly. Because I have to say, her fucking chops are shocking. When she's in the ring, she looks very... Jeez, I have to be careful what I say here, but she looks very masculine, but in an unmasculine way, if that makes sense in any way, shape, or form to you guys. Like,
I think she's very robotic.
That's what I mean. Exactly. There you go. That's a very, very good way of putting it. Like, I look at her and I kind of go, right, I want to get behind you because I do think you're good, but like, there's a reason that you put a Becky Lynch in there with her because she'll know how to work with her. Yeah?
Yeah.
It can work. And they're similar size. I think Charlotte actually believes that she is better than Ric Flair. You know, already in her mind. She thinks she's on that level way above anybody. And you're going, okay, it works in a promo, but not in real life. You know what I mean? Because you haven't, like, you've seen Charlotte... I know Rick was accused back in the day of once you've seen a Rick match, you've seen them all. And that, you know, in some levels, that's true.
They used to go territory to territory. So you only saw one Rick match a year. So it didn't matter too much.
Exactly. But now you're seeing it with her. And it is every week, same fucking thing all the time. Whereas I look at Becky and, you know, Shayna, who I'm a massive fan of. I think Shayna Baszler is
she's that perfect blend of legit and a worker.
Look at the way she holds herself in the ring. She looks confident before she's even got into the match that she knows what she's doing.
Asuka as well. Asuka's another one. She's left to the wayside.
But yeah, look, it was a decent match. We won't spend too much more time on it. We have to end night one.
I'm glad it wasn't the main event. Let's just say that.
Yeah, well, me too.
Yeah, night one obviously was main evented by the Kevin Owens show. And we didn't know what we were going to get. Obviously, with the glass break, we didn't know whether we were going to get the you know, Ted, you were...
The jacket and the black trunks. I was hoping that he'd come out in them.
He looked like he was holding a bit of a beer belly in there a little bit. But yeah.
Thing is, if he's coming out for a promo, like a sit down promo, he was never going to come out in the shorts and the jacket. You know,
exactly.
So I was kind of hoping I would get the match on night two, and that's when I'll see him in the the old Stone Cold gear. Now, he wore this sort of gear coming to the end of his career. Do you know, he did wear the cut off, like the jeans and stuff at the end of his career. So I wasn't upset with that either.
As soon as I saw the ring tape on, I was like, it's happening.
Yeah, no, what put me off was when he had, like, you know, the way he used to always wear the t-shirt in his pants.
Yeah.
And he had it hanging down, and I was just like, he looks like he's someone's dad or something, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the man's in his 50s.
I'll tell you one thing,
the man is 57, and I'll tell you, there's not many 57-year-olds that can walk around
like that. I'm not taking that away from him, don't get me wrong. I thought it looked funny.
I'm going to start this off by saying I thought it was fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, just brilliant.
Purely for what it was. It was, I thought Kevin Owens, man, Kevin Owens, just take a bow. The way he, like, how he interacted with that crowd, like, he done what almost Bret Hart done with the whole Canada versus USA kind of thing. And he was like, you know, he talked about, he goes, I said, you know, if it was a human body, it'd be an ass. That's exactly what Brett done with the whole, you know, he said America was one big toilet bowl. If you're going to put the enema, it'd be in Pittsburgh, you know, that's kind of what he went for. And I thought it was unbelievable. Austin coming down, just giving him the eyes. By the way, how good does Austin look for a 57-year-old?
Yeah.
Not a wrinkle in the man's head. Good Lord.
Great shape.
And you got to see everything you wanted from Austin here, didn't you? You know, you got the short little promo out of him, and then you got the match, and you were like,
I didn't expect the five-star
classic here. This is what I wanted.
In the match as well, right, at first he looked like he was a little bit tired, but you noticed the more the body warmed up, he got into it.
He used it again.
Yeah. And it was like, that's the Austin match you want. You know,
yeah, stomping mud holes dry.
Call out, I want to say one little spot I thought was absolutely fucking brilliant and hilarious was when he drove him up there.
Man, when he came down on the little quad thing in the first place, you could hear it, the commentators, because when he came around the first corner, they're like, oh God, like they thought he was going to crash. And he was like, nah, I'm fucking good, man.
I'm the best driver.
I'm fucking rallying this thing around. And both did the first night and the second night, you could see it in his face. He loved it. Just laughing, smiling, everything. The man was just absolutely adored. And I said before, I was like, I'd said it to you guys. I said, I think he will beat Owens. I said, and depending on how he feels after, he might do another run.
Yeah.
After this, and it's not a knock on how he did in anything. I don't think he'll do another run. I think he'll go, that was the very best way I'll ever go out.
Yeah.
You know what? I would be happy with that. As an unselfish.
Yeah. I'm happy to see him come back every few months, hit a stunner on one or two boys and walk out, crack a few cans. Happy to see that. But I think that's the last match we'll see from Stone Cold.
Well, obviously, Stone Cold beat Owens. And by the way, shout out to Kevin Owens. Absolutely sold like a motherfucker for him.
Absolutely.
Good Lord. Kevin Owens threw it. And by the way, took a stunner the way it's meant to be. Boom. Face down. It was absolutely beautiful. Because that's obviously a thing with wrestling fans, right? How do you take the stunner? Because we've seen... We're going to get into it later. There's many ways to take a stunner. But obviously, Kevin Owens took the stunner just the way, in my opinion, it should be. Boom, and shut you up.
But here's the thing, Ian. Sorry for cutting in on you there.
Yeah, please do.
How awesome was it for Kevin Owens to be able to give Stone Cold the stunner? He's made now.
He's a made man. It's like a mafia thing, isn't it? You know, you call the hit on the made man. It's kind of like that's... If someone told me, like, you know, oh, you're going to give Bret Hart the sharpshooter.
Yeah. Like when I saw that happen, and I actually legit popped for it. I was like, what? Yeah. Oh my God, no way.
Like imagine Ted getting told, yeah, you're going to give Shawn Michaels the super kick.
Right, I do have a question for you here, right?
Yeah.
Because for years, there's always been the debate of, you know, who's the biggest star? And like, you know, Hogan, Austin. And obviously, it's a generational thing.
In my opinion.
But for me, I've seen Hogan come back, and I didn't grow up with Hogan, so maybe that's the difference. But Austin coming back, I was so hyped for it. And when that glass smashed and he came down, I was like a fucking child at Christmas. Yeah. Like, I was in love. Like, I was like, Ned,
so was I. This was amazing. I was sitting in Stamford Bridge Hotel, and I just went, this is what I've been waiting for.
Yeah, and the likes of, you know, you've got Kevin Owens in there, who you know idolized Austin when he was growing up as well.
Yeah.
Like, they all did. They, like, everyone that's in pro wrestling at the moment, you know, that's, you know, under the age of, say, 35. If any of them's telling you they didn't idolize Austin when they were growing up, they're lying to themselves.
Yeah. Well, or else they weren't watching what we were watching. Yeah.
100%. Yeah, you're lying to yourself, because you did. You loved Austin.
He's the biggest star, in my opinion, of all time. I grew up with Hogan. I grew up with, don't get me wrong, I think him and Hogan are at a very, very close level when it comes to, you know, bringing money into the company or whatnot, but there's something...
Everything was organic with Stone Cold.
There's something very unique. Exactly.
Do you remember the whole Austin Rock thing that people like, Austin Rock? Nah, sorry, lads. Not a debate for me anymore. Yeah. Austin, all day, every day.
Dude, listen to the crowd. Was there a louder pop at the whole of WrestleMania for Austin?
All you need is that glass smashing. And I do still hold this true for anybody's entrance music. You need something definitive at the start. Do you know?
It's the same with Hogan. Damn. Like, when you hear that, automatically you go fucking loco.
Foley had the car crash. Brett had his intro. Sean had his. Everyone had that little thing at the start. So the second you heard it, you knew whose music you were getting. You knew, like, glass smashes, right? There's no one else this is going to be. Car crash, no one else this is going to be. The sliding guitar, that's going to be Bret Hart. Like, you know what I mean? You knew who you were getting.
Ladies and gentlemen, lost on a lot. This is why we bring Ted onto the show, because he is analytical to the point where you actually think, I never thought of that, but it's true. It's 100% true. Like, in my head, I know that, but you bring it out and it's like, yeah, that's 100% true. Like, it is always that case. It's like, I hear voices in my head, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you need something, anything that defines your song, so that the first note, everyone knows who they've got.
I've always said it about wrestling, entrance music. I said it to these lads over the years. It's a very big part of getting the character over. What you're saying. Yeah. Like, I mean, like you said there, like that song, Randy Orton voices, that's a great song. Do you know what was a great one? I'm not going off on them. When Kane changed his music,
Chemical.
But you know, like, you still knew you knew straight away.
Yeah. Because Kane's was the big, the fire.
Yeah.
And then you were like, right, I know who that is. Undertaker, the gong. Like, you knew, right? I know who I'm getting here. Dudley's was the
meow. Of course, Triple H was the damn.
Yeah.
I had to play the game.
Yeah, well, that's a good segue. Now we need to take a little break before we get into night two. Obviously, Austin wins. There was never going to be a question of that.
Yeah,
I thought possibly you'd have Owens win, you know, to bring it into, you know,
night two. New. But
no. This was the right decision.
And
go ahead.
I was just gonna say.
I heard something. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say it was a great way to close out the first night. Everyone went home happy, and all in all, it was a very enjoyable first half of the WrestleMania. I feel
absolutely. And then we're gonna get in the next part. We're gonna get into night two, which I thought was even better. So
yes,
right, welcome back to Dynamo's Dozen. We are gonna go into night two now, guys. Obviously, RK Bro defeated the Street Profits. There was a little bit of messing at the end, which was kind of funny. Bobby Lashley defeated Omos, which, of course, this just shows you, like, again, Finn Balor isn't on the show, but this match is on the show. Johnny Knoxville defeated Sami Zayn, which, believe it or not, I was loved quite it. Entertained by.
Yeah. Loved it.
Naomi Sasha Banks defeated Carmella and Queen Zelina. With Liv Morgan, Rhea Ripley, Natalya, Shayna Baszler by pinfall. Edge and AJ Styles. We're going to get into that, in my opinion, match of the whole thing. Pat McAfee defeated Austin Theory with Mr. McMahon by pinfall, but obviously a lot more happened than just that match. There was a match within the match. In fact, Wikipedia have it down as Mr. McMahon with Austin Theory defeated Pat McAfee by pinfall, and then a main event, Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. I suppose we would be remiss without saying the opening of this, which we have just been talking off camera, was Triple H opening this one up. Very emotional, I guess, if you're a Triple H fan. Really, would I like to see him come out in a bit more better gear than just the suit, personally? Would I like to see him come out in the denim. Yeah, would I like to see him come out in the denim and the letters. You know, just to say goodbye. But I think it was very apparent that he's not as big as he once was. Did you guys get that? Yeah,
he's lost the muscle mass from the
you could see it even on the suit. Yeah,
I'd say it was difficult for him as well. I'd say he was in his head he was like, I might go out in the denim and all, you know, the old school way. And I'd say on the day he was like, I can't. It's like, this is already hard enough. I can't put myself through anything else.
Because he was a lot smaller, wasn't he? Like, I mean, you could see absolutely. It in his legs even when he was up on the ropes. But I mean, it was.
Well, the way it was reported was, you know, he had a minor heart condition and we were all like, that's okay. Like, he'll get back from it. And now, after months and months of not hearing, we kind of heard that wasn't true.
It was a major
heart condition. And, you know.
I think, listen, when you see guys like Edge, who we're going to talk about, come back, who weren't big into steroids and stuff like that, you know, it's one thing coming back from a neck injury, you know, or muscle injury. You see some of these guys come back from muscle injuries.
They can heal.
When it's the heart.
You can't take that
different
risk.
Different story, yeah.
So I'm going to say it out straight on my part. I know I was kind of winding you up at the start. Yeah, I got very emotional. It's an end of an era. I would have liked to see Triple H go out, you know, on his terms. Like, I want to see any pro wrestler go out on their own terms, you know. I guess the Taker is so special, you know, that he does get to go out in his own way. And unfortunately, H doesn't have that. But yeah, he left the boots in the ring. And done it the right way and didn't make it about himself, to be fair.
He left the ring very quickly. He knows how important he is to the business, and he does. Like, and people can debate this, that he wasn't, he is, he isn't, he's not that big, whatever. Like, people know who Triple H is. He is important to the business, and he knows
super.
It. And I said it before we came on. I was like, when he came out, I was like, I really hope he doesn't do a long promo here, because it's nothing against him, but I was like, that promo can be done on Raw.
Yeah, exactly.
For Mania, I want my matches. And he came out, he placed the boots down, gave one look to each side of the ring, which, you know, is very important. Like, a lot of people won't think about that. But if you're at, you know, an event and Triple H is placing his boots down, so he held those boots and faced each side of the ring before he placed them down, because that gives everyone the chance, no matter what side of the ring you were on, to get that photo. And that's a lot of things that a lot of people won't think about, but it's something he thought about. He said, there's a lot of people here and they're going to want a photo of this. Yeah. And then he placed them down, got out, hugged his family again on the way out, and just left the ring. And it was perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. I think it was absolutely perfect. Let's kind of, you know, obviously we mentioned the matches here, but, Johnny Knoxville with Sami Zayn, I thought, by the way, again, Sami Zayn.
Yeah. One of the best dance partners you could have, I think.
Dude, I thought he absolutely made everybody look a million bucks, but also while making it very entertaining. Ted,
I adored this now. Like, I knew a lot of people were going to watch this and be like, oh, it's just going to be Jackass shit and it's not going to be funny. And if, you know, if you weren't into Jackass or you're, you know, if you're only in like your teens or whatever now and you never saw Jackass, this might maybe didn't resonate that well. I don't know. Like, I haven't seen many complaints about it. But for someone who grew up with Jackass, watching it, loving it, this was incredible. You know, you got to see Johnny Knoxville out there being, and like everyone knew Johnny Knoxville was going to take whatever they threw at him. There was no like, if they'd said to him, listen, we want to throw you off the top of the fucking stadium, he probably would have done it. You know what I mean? But you got to see Chris Pontius come out doing it, the whole party boy thing, and Sammy looking disgusted by it. Wee Man giving him the slam. The like
slam.
Wee Man took, and by the way, just
big kick.
That kick was just phenomenal.
Andre slamming Hogan, Andre, Wee Man slamming, you know, Sami Zayn. They're up there with each other, you know what I mean? And then obviously the whole thing, like mousetraps, the big hand, and I don't know, did you see it, but Mark Henry put a tweet up and he was like, what did he say? I only produce legends, because obviously, you know, Mark Henry and Mae Young had the hand that he's made his WrestleMania debut and he just slaps the shit out of him. Yeah. And then, you know, and you could tell that, you know, like Michael Cole thought it was hilarious, and you could tell that Pat McAfee was a Jackass fan when he was a kid, because he was loving life.
But I think the way the ending didn't even hurt because it was like, well, they're holding me down with a trap here and there's like five or six of them. Like, what can I do? You know what I mean? Yeah. So it wasn't like that jabroni a few years ago that I hated, as you know, that came in. Remember that rapper guy?
Bad Bunny.
Oh my God. It wasn't like he came in and it was like, oh, he's actually a better wrestler than most wrestlers. I was like, oh, I remember my first beer. You know, this was some of the opinions of people going, oh, this guy's amazing, because he was just literally going through the list of moves that he'd learned, you know. This was actually quite, I thought Johnny Knoxville was fantastic. He was very funny. He was but this was the Sami Zayn show. If you're a pro wrestler and you look at that and you go, wow, that's how you
make it fun.
The one thing with Knoxville is he never had any real offense. Like wrestling offense. All of his offense was spraying him with, you know, the fire extinguisher, the big hand, the fireworks going off behind him when he was on the top ropes, all of that shit. It was all Jackass stuff. So the stuff he's good at. They didn't try and make him be a pro wrestler.
No. So it doesn't hurt Sami Zayn.
Yeah, it was just absolute madness. Like the whole thing was just madness.
And it was madness.
I'm sure there's people out there that absolutely hated this one. Has no place on a professional wrestling show. It does on WrestleMania, lads. And honestly, put that on any show and you've got me hook, line and sinker.
I personally thought it was, maybe I'm changing, I don't know, but I thought it was absolutely so entertaining.
It was fun, exactly, fun.
It knew what it was. It didn't try to be serious. That's the difference. It didn't try to be serious. It knew it was a fucking joke. Like,
and the thing for me is, before we go on, I was just going to say, the thing about that metaphor, like you said, is Sami Zayn. He is top of the east, top of as a comedy character, even, and but as I said, a dance partner in the ring, second to none.
And by the way, gotten himself into even better shape. Looks really good.
I miss him shaving his six pack into his chest hair, though. I thought that was the funniest shit I'd ever seen when he didn't have the six pack and he shaved it in. Some of the funniest shit I've ever seen.
That was good. Let's move on now. Lads, I'm really interested to get your opinions on this one. I went with Edge and AJ. Seeing Edge now recreate something different again, something completely new, is so, like, we didn't know where he was going with this, but he was kind of getting, you know, almost like he was kind of conspiratorial in some ways as well, and getting very demonic, and, you know, as we know Edge can.
Yes.
It's great to see Edge now going, I'm literally going to recreate myself for the umpteenth time and do it well. So much so that you're going to believe it. AJ, oh my God, like AJ came out in amazing gear. By the way, that was pretty weird. The firework that obviously split off and hit AJ on the fucking face.
Has cut face.
Because a lot of people thought that it was a fan throwing something, but it wasn't. It was, you could tell,
when the fireworks went off.
You could tell there was a bit of a hole, and he was actually pretty pissed off. So it, you know,
didn't faze him though.
Could be a lawsuit there.
Yeah, well, it didn't faze him because he went out there and he fucking did what he always does.
He went out there. Delivers. I believe, I'm going to say it right now, I think on his day, there is no professional wrestler that matches AJ Styles. Nobody. Nobody.
I agree with you.
Single person.
Yeah, no, he's a fucking generational talent, isn't he? Like, there's just no other way to put it. The man's a generational talent.
He's the Lionel Messi of professional wrestling, really, when it comes to, like, of this modern era.
If you watch his TNA stuff, you know, when he was that bit younger and he had, you know, a bit more spring and pep in his step, you know, he's a bit more of a high flyer.
But he hasn't lost
some of the shit he could do back then, unbelievable. But now he can't do all of it anymore. And that's, you know, that's perfectly acceptable. But the man can still do a springboard 450 splash, still does the phenomenal forearm.
It's unbelievable. You know?
And, you know, all of it works into the rest of what he's doing because it never feels like it's, I'm just hitting this for the sake of hitting it. It's all in a story.
When you look at this match, I thought was, for me, it was the match of the whole
weekend,
the whole two nights.
It's this or Becky and Bianca for me.
Yeah,
between those two.
I would agree with you, Ted. I would agree with you.
Yeah, between those two.
I think this just shades it for me, purely because it was like the story was, like, I thought Edge coming out the way he did, it was like the Brood stuff, but then it's like, okay, he's gone.
Even kind darker.
It's kind of halfway between the Brood and the Ministry of Darkness. That's the way I looked at it. I was like, it's kind of, he's, because he was in both, obviously.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of like he's settled on a middle ground there, and he's like, this is where I'll go. And I'll tell you, if you haven't watched Raw, he comes out very similar to that, but in a black suit, and they keep all the lights down and stuff. It's actually, it looks really good. And Edge as a heel is, as we all know,
is the best.
And even that new music.
Yeah.
It's still Alter Bridge, but it's
just a new song. It's like, what the fuck? Yeah.
He's reinvented himself brilliantly here. And then it looks like he's going to be creating his own faction. Obviously, we've got Damian Priest joined him at the end of this match.
Hopefully we get Balor in there as well with the demon character. That would be nice.
That would be cool for to give him something to do, all right, yeah.
No, we need him. We need give him something to do. Yeah, we need to give him something because fucking hell, they've given him the US title and just, you know, go languish on SmackDown and Raw.
From a Bray man and obviously an Irishman, go on.
It's just they've given them something and they're like, right, we'll make you the US champion. And you'd be like, okay, I'm US champion going into Mania. I'll definitely have a match. Oh, no, you're going to be on the Battle Royale on the SmackDown the night before. Okay, fair enough. And I'm winning. No, you're going to lose that. All right. And then what about Raw after Mania? No, you're going to lose clean, pinned in the middle of the ring on that as well. So I'm the US champ, but I've lost. I didn't get to be on Mania and I lost the show before and the show after. Yeah. Oh, great.
If that doesn't tell you that, I don't know what does.
And then
guess what my missus said watching it. She knew straight away by watching. What's your man's name? This is how much I care about him. Austin Theory.
She's, I like Austin Theory. He quite clearly
sucks Vince McMahon's dick.
Yeah, quite clear.
Yeah, but I think he works for that role that they had him in.
Oh, he works for it by sucking dick every other day. It's like, wow, what is this? Because like, you're looking at someone like Balor, yeah, and you're going, you didn't want Balor going to AEW, so you gave him an extra bump on the contract. But why? You've no intention of doing that with him.
Just to stop him going somewhere else. That's unfortunately it. Like, a lot of these people are on contract. Like, Mustafa Ali has asked for his release. Not because he's not getting used, but because he disagrees with certain things within the company, and they won't give it to him. And the only reason they won't give it to him is because he'll go somewhere else. Again, that is the truth. They're signing these people to like make sure somebody else doesn't have them.
Well, but, it's kind of good that we talk about that because it is a shit company, even though we praise their.
Who's your Intercontinental Champion? I know the answer,
Well, oh. It's your man, the what's your man, the flippy guy, fucking
Ricochet.
Ricochet, yeah.
Not on the show either.
Imagine that though. I can turn around and say, "Oh, the flippy guy," and I'm like, yeah.
But not on the show either. Two titles, US and Intercontinental title, not on your either. Two nights of WrestleMania, and they don't make it.
Yeah, but even if they like, even if they had the Intercontinental title on it,
just lash the two boys in there with each other. Have the two of them wrestle each other. And be match. Which one is the better champion?
Two matches, winner takes all on both.
Not even a winner takes all. Just go out there and just see which one he is better. Off he's go. No titles on the line. Just off he's go.
I think it was absolutely disgrace. And of course, Vince takes a spot himself with what we talk about later. Sheamus, of course, is on it, but I don't want to even look at that.
The only thing I will say about that is what the fuck have they done with Pete Dunne?
I actually do have something to say on this, and I'm very annoyed that they didn't go with this, because obviously Big E's neck was broken by Rich Holland. And listen, I'm not blaming Rich Holland. You know, he went for a move and it didn't work out, and that is one of the risks that you take.
Do you know who I'm blaming on it? I'm blaming Big E for actually taking it. Because straight away, if someone said that to me, I'm not taking that on the outside. Forget about it.
Mm. Yeah, possibly. But like, without laying blame at anyone's thing, I do blame WWE for what they didn't do here. Because they had the group that injured one member of the New Day, who broke his neck but is capable of walking around in a brace now. And I don't want Big E getting physical. Have that match go on. Have Big E's music hit halfway through it. Or, you know, the New Day's music hit again halfway through it. Have Big E just walk down the ramp, motivate the boys, have them win. And there's a nice, happy moment.
Would have been cool, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think this company gives a shit about the people. It's like, they'll do it. You know.
No, but you know what I mean? Like, this match was so throwaway. Like, these boys just squashed the New Day. And, like, whether people like the New Day or not, the New Day are a massive tag team for WWE.
They're legendary.
And they just got squashed here.
They're an institution, should I say.
You could have had them getting squashed, had Big E just walk down, clap on the apron or whatever, and had them, you know, rise up and win. A nice moment for everyone. Mm. And maybe Big E didn't want to. Maybe he didn't want to appear on, you know, a level like that with a neck brace on and knowing he couldn't. And like, maybe that's the thing. But I think if I was left in charge of that match, that's what I would have wanted to do. Yeah. I just think
I just think it's hilarious that, like, we're going to get, when it's all said and done, that, like, Sheamus will be the Irish wrestler
that
nobody wanted.
Still there.
Literally.
Yeah.
Literally the most overrated guy, you know, in history. Anyway. We move on to the next one. Pat McAfee and, of course, Austin Theory. I mean, I thought Austin Theory, look, he sold for him. I think he oversells at times. I think he looks a million bucks, definitely.
Yeah.
Without a shadow of a doubt, you know, he looks a million bucks. I still love to know where this kind of push comes from. I really don't know where it's coming from. Considering especially the amount of people that WWE let go, in NXT, like, I just find it absolutely fucking baffling.
They were high on them before, brought him in from the NXT up to the main roster, and it didn't work out because he was too green, and they let him go back down. So Vince obviously is really high on the guy.
He must suck good dick.
He really like some.
I mean, they look like they soak each other's fucking dick. My Mrs. Rachel, as you both know, was like, those two actually toss each other off. And like, she literally hadn't watched any wrestling. She was like, I'm watching that. They toss each other off. Definitely. I was like, yeah, probably Vince probably has sucked a dick.
Not beyond the realms of beliefs, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I found this baffling. Obviously, Pat McAfee was fucking, his performance, I thought, within this match was unbelievable. My God. I just want to say, like, you guys mentioned before, we mentioned, obviously, Logan Paul was a pretty big, you know,
surprise.
Impressive surprise
for
us. But this was probably another level, in my opinion.
This wasn't a surprise, though, because we've seen Pat McAfee before, exactly. And we knew, like, he was capable of it.
But when you saw that flip, and then he just done that, he held that in. That was his high spot. he knows how to work.
Yeah.
It wasn't even like he was trying to fit it all in once.
Even the build up to this, you know, where they showed the package of him like on SmackDown, chasing Austin Theory back and then kicking Vince's door in when Vince came out. The fear on his face that when Vince was like, "Do you want me to cancel your match?" And he was like, "No." And you could see, you were like, that is perfect, because that's the way he should be. Like, if you're a guy who's a commentator and it's been your dream to have a WrestleMania match, you don't get angry at the boss. The boss comes out and goes, "Do you want me to cancel it?" You should be terrified. You want to be like, no, like, and backing down big time. But then he gets in the ring here and, you know, lets all the aggression out. And then after he wins, giving it all the this, that, and the other to Vince on the outside of the ring. Brilliant. Like, sets up his own little match.
Let's get into the next little match. Like, it was very weird, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Vince looked very weird. It was like, okay, he still looks in shape, but it's like that head doesn't suit the body.
He's jacked, but he can't move. Like, he couldn't. Like, even when he went to punt the ball at him, you were like, that's an old man punting a ball.
Yeah.
You know, and like, I don't like to say that, but
I thought of Carl watching that, actually. I thought of Carl, like, watching that. I was just laughing.
Why?
Like,
I just thought of you laughing at that thing. Like, you literally sitting there going, like, that's funny.
I did laugh at it.
I think the clotheslines he gave looked good, but I think that's because Pat McAfee sold the shit out of them.
Yeah.
Which was just a level of respect that he showed to Vince. He was like, I'm going to sell the ever-living shit out of
Vince's,
everything.
Vince's face didn't even change during it all. It was just, he just looked like a fish.
I think he was just so concentrated on not falling over.
Those lips.
He looks like a goldfish,
I think he was just concentrated on making sure that nothing went wrong for him.
Everything went wrong for him.
No, but do you know what I mean? Like, you could see that Vince is an old man. Like, he's jacked as fuck, and no one can take that away from him. But, like, it's all muscle for show. He's not the man he was. He couldn't move properly and stuff. And, you know, I wasn't expecting him to. And I actually thought the match was fine for what it was. It was a little, you know, it was Vince signing off. And where it led to, I was like, it makes sense that you did it now
Let's talk about what happened next then.
What a segue.
The glass smashes. Everyone knew. You were waiting for it. Did you catch Vince's little fuck up beforehand though?
Yes, because he talked. Because obviously your man,
they snapped Austin Theory's music on, and he was like, and then Austin Theory was like, "No, it's mine. That's my music." And he was like, "Oh, yeah, that's fine." And then
I'm actually going to give Vince kudos on that, because he actually covered it back. Like, he recovered himself back because he kind of
then
went,
Austin's music.
Okay, it's okay. And then
Austin's music here, and you could see him just looking up the ramp, and he was like, "Oh, I'm screwed. I am screwed, because here comes Austin." And it was the old Austin, you know, the walk, everything about Austin, the way he walked down to the ring.
By the way, how good was that walk? It was like, that was an old Austin walk. That was Austin walking back as if he was fucking 37, not 57.
Yeah. No, well, that's what I mean. It was the old Austin walk, you know, like this. Yeah. Do you remember during the invasion? When Austin had kind of lost his edge for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then JR did the thing when he was like, they went to see him in the bar and he was drinking and he was like, I don't want to be involved in this. And then he comes walking down when all the WCW lads are beating the shit out of the WWE lads. And then he comes walking down and JR says it, and he's like, and he's walking like the old rattlesnake. That's what this was. He was the old rattlesnake walking down here and stuns Austin Theory. And then, you know, go on, Vince. We'll
Austin Theory with the worst fucking, like, worse than The Rock.
Oversold it massively, didn't he? Yeah.
Thought he was The Rock or something.
He was trying to, but then, you know, the little Vince sipping the beer.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, yeah, I'll drink you. And then, was this the world's worst stunner? Or was this Vince paying homage to the fact that he took the world's worst stunner?
Vince being an old man, not knowing
exactly. Yeah,
I'd agree with you that this wasn't planned, but it will be spun that this was Vince's homage to his bad. That's the story we're going to get.
Austin, obviously, Vince
in bits. Austin was laughing his ass off. He couldn't stop. You could see it in his face, big smile on his face. Everything, he was loving it.
You know what I thought was cool, actually?
For 5 minutes long, he was just laughing.
Yeah, he couldn't stop.
Did you see when McAfee got his stunner and everything, right?
No, that's a way to sell a stunner.
Yeah. But yeah. when the thing was the segment was just over and you see
McAfee pouring the beer in his mouth.
Yeah.
did you see just before that Austin throws one onto him when when he's lying? You see,
oh,
Austin,
yeah, he pours one out.
No, he throws the full can out between the ropes to land on top of McAfee, and then it cuts back to McAfee and he's lying on the ground just pouring beer. And again, like, McAfee was clearly a fan growing up.
Yeah.
And the same as Kevin Owens, the two boys,
how good
loving life they were.
How good was that, though? I mean, I remember, like, I always like someone that doesn't follow the product always to kind of get their reaction.
Yeah.
And I remember I showed my missus last night, and she was just like, that's brilliant. The way he's pouring to his milk on.
Yeah. He gets it, doesn't he? McAfee just gets it. Like, he knows that, you know, I can be funny here. Like, this is a moment that people will remember, but it doesn't take away from what Austin's doing either.
No.
Do you know, it's a nice little addition. And it's then Austin beautiful. Walking off, smiling and having the beers and everything. Nice. Like, it was amazing. And, like, honestly, if this had been the end of Mania, not that the matches deserve to be the main event, but if that was the end of Mania, I don't think anyone would have complained then either.
Yeah.
No. Just that segment, not the matches, but well, that's the segment of Austin.
That's a good segue. So we get into Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, which is now promoted as the biggest match in Mania history.
What a hype video.
Now, I would agree with that. It probably is the biggest match in Mania history when you think about it. You know what I mean? Because you've got the two belts on the line. You've got two of the biggest superstars. So that makes sense. This is your new Ultimate Warrior versus Hulk Hogan.
On paper, yeah.
On paper. 12 minutes long. I thought it was a very surprising for me now, I have to say. It was good, you know.
Hard hitting.
It wasn't crap, it was just wasn't on the level that it was promoted.
It was just like, if you look at Ultimate Warrior and Hulk Hogan, it's actually a better match. It was actually more wrestling. And you're going, wow.
I think just the build up to this match was just so good. Like, everything that happened coming into this match, you know, Heyman turning on Lesnar and siding with Reigns. And then, like as I said, that promo video, the 5-minute promo video beforehand, like, watch that and don't get hyped. If you watch that and you're not hyped,
that I think that was the problem. You're the no hype longer... video was better.
Too. Yeah. You're not a pro wrestling fan.
What about at the start when I thought that was brilliant? When before the spear into the thing and Haven's going, I love you. It was all his idea. It was all his idea.
Even the introductions, Heyman obviously took the mic to do Reigns' one. And then Brock took the mic to do his own one. I was like, this is brilliant. Like,
I gotta say, Brock Lesnar right now is the biggest
star.
He's
brilliant like this.
And the thing about it is, I think they made the wrong choice here on this one, because I actually think is a bigger star now. Than he was.
I think he is, but I think in the long run, I think having Reigns have this massive, monstrous title run will be massively beneficial, because my thoughts are that Reigns is going to hold this until the next Mania when he's going to face The Rock. And I think he's going to, because obviously it's in Hollywood. And
I guess who's going to be there?
I think I'm going to go to it as well.
Well, that's cool. So here we are live on Dynamo's Dozen. You want to come with us? Come on with us.
Yeah.
We're gonna go, Ted. So we'll figure out.
I kind of wanted to go to Hollywood anyway. It's also a place that's going to be super, super expensive. So it's kind of.
Yeah, we're the same. Myself and the missus actually decided last night during this match that we were going to go. Not during the match, but before the match, obviously, when it was announced, you know, we were like, all right, okay. Because she has family over there, so.
I think Reigns is going to beat Rock at that Mania, and I think it'll be somewhere after that he loses the title, which then you'll be looking at. And they said it before this, that Reigns hasn't been pinned or submitted since 2019.
Yeah,
so they're pushing the narrative that he's close to Bob Backlund, because Bob Backlund obviously holds the...
Yeah, but okay. I think they're going to push for him to have a reign longer than Hogan's WWE title reign. I think they're going to push for a near 3-year reign on him, and then have somebody beat him. And whoever does beat him, that person is going to be a major star.
But what I would like to know is, like, why? What are you going to do now that you've got Brock? Like, what are you going to do with him? Because Brock is still physically more impressive.
Yeah. I don't know who they're going to make, you know, his next challenger. They did reference it on Raw. They were like, we're going to talk about it on SmackDown, where we're like, Reigns said, I'll talk about where I'm going to go from here. So probably just have him do a couple of kind of smaller feuds.
I think they're not. I think The Rock is going to be the one to beat him.
I hope not.
I think I hope not too.
I think it'd be a big letdown for The Rock to do it, but yeah, I think it'd be a big letdown. But I think,
goodness knows who's going to step up in the next year.
Exactly, and that's the thing. And it could still be someone from NXT. Like Bron Breakker could be the person. Like if you wait another 2 years, Bron Breakker is going to be ready to get there as well.
What about Finn Balor?
They're not going to give Finn Balor the title. If he gets it, then he won't be defending it. I think what will happen is he'll lose one of the titles in a triple threat to like Cody or Ray or to Rollins or someone, but he won't be the one pinned. I think he'll lose one of the titles because they won't keep them both on him.
Yeah.
Well, so I heard a rumor through the grapevine that they're going to go back with the old Big Gold. I don't know how.
I would love to see them do that, but I've wished for that a couple of times and they never seem to actually do it. Yeah. So.
It would make sense to do something like that, to have another spirit title, say, like a mix of the two, but they can defend them as, like, say he loses one, then he just goes back to the other one.
Yeah, he could do that.
Well, it's the same as the IBF or the WBO or the WBC titles in boxing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you defend one, not both. Yeah. I think he's, you know, I think Reigns is phenomenal at the moment, and I think I do agree with you that at the moment Lesnar's the bigger star, but I think Reigns it's worth more to have Reigns be the one to win here.
So what next short match for Lesnar then? Because obviously if Lesnar decides to, you know, quit company and go, what you're doing for me isn't really that good, is the company going to chase Reigns or Lesnar again and go, oh Jesus, we need to get him back on side?
I think Lesnar will find something else that he wants to do within the company. I'd say there's probably someone there that he does want to work with.
You know, he's been offered major books with AEW as well. That's why they need to be careful. Lesnar's enjoying his pro wrestling. If he's $2 million more.
Yeah, imagine him and AEW. Jesus.
I could see him, you know, if Vince didn't give him something that he wanted. But I don't think Lesnar's too worried about whether he's the world champion or not. You know, I think Lesnar's enjoying his wrestling again. So if they give him something tasty to go with, whether it's got a world title in it or not, I think he'll still be happy to take the big bucks from Vince as well.
I don't know. I think he has a rapport
with Vince as well. I think he doesn't know Tony Khan.
So yeah, everyone has a rapport with Vince until they don't.
But Lesnar's had his falling out with Vince as well. Do you know what I mean? Like
Lesnar has a rapport with money. So.
Yeah. Exactly. For example, if Tony Khan said, look, we're going to make you our main guy, $2 million extra more than what they're offering you.
Mm.
Think he's going to say, oh no, I'm loyal to Vince.
I'm not saying that, but I'm saying I don't think that he cares too much whether he's got the world title anymore. I think as long as he was given something that he felt he could sink his teeth into, something that he'd enjoy, I think he'd be happy to do that. I don't think he's too concerned. Like, you know, it's Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar doesn't... Everyone knows if he wanted to be champion, he'd be fucking champion, and we all know it.
It would have to be someone taking him out, maybe, to take his focus off the title.
Yeah.
Something like that for a new storyline.
Just someone to, like, keep him entertained for a couple of months or whatever.
Well, I am predicting this, and I think Roman Reigns is going to get very bored very quick. It's already happening for a lot of people. I do think
that Mania would have been the perfect time for him to drop the title, actually. Yeah. Because he has had such a long reign at the moment.
It's going to get very bored and very quick. It's like, oh, he's cheating to win here and there. And, he's the head of the table. And we've seen it for the last... I already find it very boring. And yeah, but I do agree. It looks great, you know? when he's standing there, he looks like a million bucks. You know, he looks like a guy that should be winning. But
I think on the overall, I think he's
another year of this though would be
a year is definitely going to be pushing it, which is why I think he'll beat The Rock, and then it'll be like, you know, the next night on Raw or something. Someone will come up and give him a quick challenge and beat him.
I kind of hope it doesn't happen like that now. I hope someone takes the title off him sooner rather than later.
It could be sooner, but you know, like I hope it's not The Rock or, you know, somebody like that.
If you're bringing someone back like Cody, you know what I mean? Like you're not bringing him back just to be a jabroni, which obviously WWE are.
I would like to see Cody with a title run, actually.
I think Cody will have a title.
Unfortunately,
I think we will get Cody with a title run. I don't think it'll be one to beat Lesnar or to beat Reigns. I think it'll be someone else will beat them, and then Cody will take it off them, or he'll win it in a triple threat where he doesn't pin Reigns or something like that. Do you know what I mean? Before we like finish up on the night, though, like just Bobby Lashley, how that man wasn't knocked out by Omos.
Oh,
that, like, talk about unsafe work. That was fucking disgusting.
It was.
But there we go with Vince once again, not actually
a big 7-footer,
thinking about the safety of his fucking staff.
Like, yeah.
Just putting guys in because, oh, he's big and he's got big muscles. And yeah.
Yeah. No, just I'm glad Lashley's okay, because that I thought he's knocked out. When that happened, I was like, this match is over. He's knocked out. Because the back of his head smashed into that ring table. So I was like, oh, Jesus, he's gone. Thankfully, he wasn't.
It's unfortunate, isn't it? And it's just one of those things where Vince will never, like, actually admit it. Oh, it's all about your face. You know, it's the same thing he said, back in the Chris Benoit days. But quite clearly, he doesn't give a fuck about it was in there. And, well, that's why I hope Vince's knees are fucked after that stunner.
His knees are grand because they didn't even fucking touch the canvas.
No, he fell back, didn't he?
Did you see his knees? Fell over. Did you see his knees?
Yeah, I know there was a bit of negativity there at the end, but like both nights of Mania, incredible. Like I loved
it. It was the best Mania in
a long time,
in as long as I can remember. For over two nights, it was the best.
That was brilliant, yeah.
It was absolutely fantastic.
Very enjoyable, yeah. Very enjoyable.
Yeah. So I suppose we'll let the two boys give their final thoughts. Carl?
Yeah, enjoyable two nights to watch. I do like the two night concept now. It's a bit more like, I mean, we've watched WrestleManias where they're 6-7 hours and we've both fallen asleep. I haven't fallen asleep in the last couple of years, which is great.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, very enjoyable all the same. Like, yeah, there was one or two little mishaps here and there, but a very enjoyable WrestleMania.
Yeah, I'd be the same. Yeah, like, listen, 4 hours is a perfect pay-per-view time. Mm. If a pay-per-view is running 7 or 8 hours, it's too much. It is. It's just, it's too much. And as much as I love pro wrestling, it was too much. Splitting it over two nights. And especially then if, you know, you can't get the Monday off work or whatever, at least you get one night of watching the first thing, and then you only have to catch up on half of it the next night.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, overall, brilliant. Some stuff people won't like, some stuff I didn't like, but overall, I'd say I was happy with everything really. Like, there's some stuff that I wasn't overly happy with. I would have preferred other things being there than them, but awesome being there. I think
no need to call it Sheamus instead of Finn Balor. It's all good.
Yeah,
you're dead right.
But yeah, I think whatever happened there, when I heard Austin was going to be there, and I think that Mania was always going to be special then. Just to have some of the matches there.
I can't wait to hear the shopkeeper stories when he comes back.
Yeah, I'd say that was some event to be at now.
100%, 100%. Well, for me, on a personal level, I thought it was a good show. Again, I still think people like Finn Balor and Ricochet and all those guys are getting fucking squashed down the toilet. You know, even though I agree that, you know, Johnny Knoxville and all that appearing on the show is a good thing for pro wrestling. I think it's a bad thing for pro wrestling when the US title and the Intercontinental titles aren't being defended on the show. That's just my personal opinion. If you disagree with it, then you're not a fucking pro wrestling fan, so fuck you. but yeah, I think overall it was a pretty good show, bar a couple of bits and pieces. And like a really big couple of bits and pieces, you know, I don't need to see Baron Corbin versus Drew Galloway or ropes getting cut off. I don't need to see that. I need to see the Intercontinental title getting defended. I need to see the US title getting defended. That's just my personal opinion.
Yeah.
And that's the only things that made this not the best Mania, but
yeah,
it was damn near one of the best Manias
I've seen
in a long time. And if I'd have seen them, good Lord, that would have been something. So, until the next time, for me, Ina Dynamo Kelly, we're going to sign off and say, what a show. Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, tune in the next time and make sure you follow us on YouTube, like, subscribe, and hit the comment button. Let us know what you think. Did you enjoy Mania? Should Sheamus be in there ahead of Finn? Who knows? Let us know.
Where was Shane McMahon?
Exactly. So, what a way to end the show on that point. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate it. For me, Dynamo. For Carl, for Ted, we are over and out.